Children and Youth Sunday. They did a great job, didn't they? It's always great to see them come up here and lead us in worship, and it's great to be singing along with them, and it's just wonderful to worship the Lord together, isn't it? You know, the amazing thing about worship, as has been said, I think, many times throughout the history of the church over and over again, is that when we come together to worship, it's people from all different walks of life. There are very few of us here, I would guess, are exactly the same, right? Am I right? There are very few of us here that are that. So we come from all walks of life. We come from all different personalities, all different interests, all different perspectives, all different understandings. And this day shows that we come from all different ages, and all different ages coming together in one place at one time to give glory to the one true God. And that is what is exciting about coming together to worship. So today we're going to be looking in Genesis chapter 46, verse 1. Genesis chapter 46, and we're just going to be reading the one verse here in chapter 46, and since this is Children and Youth Sunday, I'd like all the children and youth to participate, and the adults as well, if everybody could read this verse with me, and those of you who are watching by the live stream, the children and youth who are watching by the live stream, please speak very loudly so we can hear you, okay? Genesis chapter 46, verse 1, let's read this together, here we go. So Israel set out with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Isaac. Now, I wanted to start off today by asking a question. Has anybody here, and specifically children and youth, wherever you might be, raise your hand. If you are a child or a youth, raise your hand right now. A child or a youth, raise your hand. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Okay. We can deal with that, I guess. Some of us are young at heart, I suppose. All right, so I wanna, have you ever been told or asked to do something that you did not want to do? Yes, every day, wow. Now adults, speaking to you as well. Any adults here, have you ever been asked to do something that you did not want to do? Right? Okay. I guess the real question would be, has anybody here never been asked to do something that you didn't want to do? Anybody? Yeah, my guess is all of us have been through that experience. We don't want to do it, but we've been told to, and we have to. And sometimes we don't want to because we don't know what we are getting ourselves into. And I've been in some of these situations like this. If you know me very well, you know that I like to have fun, number one. But for the most part, I like to kind of be reserved in the sense that if somebody tries to pull a practical joke or a prank on me, and this isn't giving you guys any ideas, but if somebody attempts that, like for example, I remember one time with a youth group, not the youth group here, this youth group would never do this to me, I'm sure, but it was another youth group that actually my wife, who was in charge of the youth group, put them up to this, and I'm sitting there and they put ice right down my back. And I did not react. You know how hard that was? I am not going to react. I don't like to react in situations like that. I don't want to be called out, you know, attention and those type of things. But I say that because that has happened to me at least once. A few years ago, our whole family went down. This is when we were living in a different place, and we were around Philadelphia. And we went down and we saw this comedian who we knew came to town. We saw him on TV before. It was a nice comedian, funny comedian, great guy. So we all go down, and we happen to be just about in the front row, I believe, second or third row, something like that, right down here. And towards the end of this comedian's show that he put on, he goes, okay, now I need some volunteers. And he says, I need, and he started pointing out an occupation, and he started pointing out whether he needed a male or a female. And then the last one he asked for is, I need a father. And you know my family was nice enough that they did not in any way, shape, or form tell him that I would like to come up on the stage. You know how many fingers were pointing in my face when he said that? Said, I need a father. And he goes, okay, come on up. So I go on up, and literally, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I saw this guy on TV before, and I knew he did some unique things. And so I come up here, And he's doing his comedy bit with all four of us, and he's having all of us do different things. And he puts this mask on my face that I didn't even see what it looked like. So I had no idea what it looked like. He put it on my face, and everyone erupted in laughter as soon as he put it on my face. And then it was he had a clicker with it that made the mouth move. So it was like he made me say things that I didn't even desire to say. And by the end of it, he got me, and we have this on video somewhere. I think I tried to delete it off everything, but I think we have it somewhere. Still, by the very end, he said, "Okay, Pastor, you know, you told us you can sing and dance, so why don't you go ahead?" So I'm standing there going, okay, and this is on video. I'm not gonna show you what I did, but it wasn't really good at all. But I did do it, and then of course he said, "Now we also understand you're a karate expert," and so I had to do everything he said. He made all the sounds of the hooah, yeah, and I was doing everything with him. And that time, and I walk away, and I'm thinking, you know what? I went up there, and I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And my family was in tears, crying. They were laughing so hard because of how much fun it was to watch me go through that experience. Now, I say that to say, how many of you are reluctant in situations like that? I've noticed this a lot of times. When you ask for volunteers, there's always a hesitation because you're not just quite sure what you're going to get yourself into. It's like a lot of, you know, if somebody would make the statement where they would say, "Hey, you want to do me a favor?" I always hesitate on that one. Yeah, every time I'm like, possibly. It depends. What exactly is this favor? Because you don't want to go into something blind and then find out that it was not anything that you expected it to be. Well, the reason I say that is because that's very similar to walking in faith and following God according to faith and moving forward out of faith. Because faith is an interesting thing, and I think that at times we forget about it because we kind of get used to our comfort, don't we? We kind of get used to our current situation. We get used to our routine and the way that we like things. And it's hard for us to grasp or understand, especially some of these faith things that were happening in the Old Testament. If you go back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, you have the story of Abraham, where God just told, as you know, God just told Abraham, "Hey, Abraham, get up, go." That was it. Get up and go. Well, what's going to happen? What's going to happen when I get there? Where am I going? And yet he just told him, get up, go. See, there's something about that idea of getting up and going, and there's something about the idea of obedience, of, hey, God told me and I'm going to do it. But the problem is what pulls us back into that at times is our comfort zone and our routine that we go through and what we're used to. And we've kind of forgotten at times how important it is to be willing and obedient to God if he calls us to do something, even if we don't know what we are getting ourselves into. That's similar to what's happening here in this verse where we have Israel, or otherwise known as Jacob, coming, and he is leaving. He is actually walking with God, and he set out with all that he had, came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And the idea is that all throughout the Old Testament, that's pretty much what we have, is God speaking, God giving direction to the people and telling the people what he wants and where they are to go, and they are supposed to decide, am I going to accept this and do what God is asking, or am I going to reject it and do what I want? That's really what it comes down to. And one of the things that we begin to think about is how many times has God done this? And it didn't stop in the Old Testament, and we know that because it didn't stop in the New Testament, because Jesus talked about the same thing. He said, if you want to come after me, you must surrender, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. You must give up everything and come and follow me. It's all about what he says. It's no longer about what you say. And you have the idea of that taking place, and it's taking place in the book of Acts as well in the New Testament, when everybody's responding to the movement of God, and everybody has a choice of, am I going to accept the direction that God is asking me or prompting me to go, or am I going to refuse it? I know that in my own life, you've heard parts of this, I'm pretty sure, but in my own life, the whole idea of being a minister and the whole idea of preaching and the idea of being called to preach, it took me a while to get to where I understood what God wanted me to do for the rest of my life. Because when I started college, I started off as a music major, and I thought that's what it was going to be for the rest of my life. And then I started working with youth, and I moved to a social work major, and then finally it was like, okay, now this is where God wants me, and he's called me to preach, and that's what I've been doing ever since then. And every single time that there's been a doubt, or every single time there's been a question in my mind of maybe I should stop, or maybe I was never called, or maybe this really isn't what God wants me to do, something happens where he reminds me, no, this is what I want you to do. And I'm concerned a little bit that I don't know that that's happening as often as it used to, because I remember continuously throughout church when I was growing up, there were, especially with the youth and the children and teens, there was always discussions and messages and sermons and challenges on accepting God's call on your life, that possibly there would be somebody here today that God would be calling to be a preacher or a pastor or a teacher. That possibly there would be somebody here today that God would be calling to be a missionary that would get up and go and just go overseas and just live among the people and serve God in that way. And it is for children and youth to be thinking about, because that's when those decisions are being made of what are you going to do for the rest of your life. But it's not just for the children and youth. This is also for adults to be thinking about as well, because, you know, there's no like age limit on when this can happen. There's never a time when God says, well, I'm not going to call them to preach because they're too old. That just doesn't happen. So anybody here can be called into that right now in this moment. Doesn't matter about age. It doesn't matter of your experience or your background. God is doing that, and he's doing that all the time. And what are we getting at here is just that the main goal in all of our lives is that we should, when we're following Christ, when we're following Jesus, that the most important thing is that what we do and say is pleasing to him, and that our life is given to him. And so what we end up saying then is, God, if I don't want to do this, but if you want me to, I will. God, I don't want to be a missionary, but if you want me to, I will. God, if I don't want to be a preacher, but if you want me to, I will. God, I don't want to be whatever ministry you want to fill in there. God, I don't want to do this, but if you want me to, I will. That's the whole theme of serving Christ. And I think that all of us need to reassess that at times and just say, God, am I in the center of what you're asking me to do? Or is there something more? Are you calling me into a deeper side of ministry that I wasn't aware of before? And again, this is for everybody. It doesn't matter. I have known people who didn't get saved until extremely later in life, and then even having to go back to school to study for the ministry. There's no limit to this whole thing. So I guess one of the things that we would say about this would be that maybe the prayer that all of us should be praying, children, youth, adult, and senior adult, doesn't matter who you are, it would be, God, you know, I'm not sure if you're calling me into this, fill in the blank, but if you are, I'm willing to do it. I'm not sure if you're leading in this direction, but if you are, then I'll do it. Because it's whatever you want, God, it's not what I want. You know, I've always heard different statements from time to time that people will make when it comes to certain areas of ministry. And I know that the motive for the most part is to be complimentary, and it's to be encouraging. And I get that. So I'm not offended at this. But I kind of wonder at times when I've heard things in the past where people will say things like, well, I'm glad you could do that because I could never. Well, that's not true. Because the only reason that I can do anything like this, or the only reason anybody can do anything, is because of God. And it's never about, I'm glad that he called you because I could never. No, because everybody's at that place where they don't feel adequate. They don't feel like they can do it. And they need to be accepting of what God is saying. And I'll never forget the one time that started to become clear to me for the future of my life. And we had this visitation pastor in our church. He was retired, but he was continuing to minister, so he was hired on as the visitation pastor. And he came and he started talking to me one day, and I think I was 17, looking towards college and making decisions about where I was going to go and what was going to happen. And he said, "Have you thought about where you're going to go to school?" And I mentioned the school, and it happened to be a Christian school. And immediately he just made an assumption, and he said, "Why, are you going to be a preacher too?" And I just looked at him, and I said, "I'm not sure. I don't know." And then he said to me, and this was a wise man speaking. This was somebody who had been in ministry for many years, and he said to me, he said, "When you see yourself in your life," he said, "can you see yourself doing anything else?" He said, that's what it was for me, was when he saw his life, future of his life, and it was like, I can't see myself doing anything else but. And he said, that's a good sign that that's what God desires you to do. And I remember later on, after that experience, later on that same year, we had an evangelist come. He preached a revival, and I went forward to pray, and I wasn't sure exactly what God was telling me. But in that moment, I remember watching my pastor at the time, and he had his Bible as he's kneeling down and he's praying with different people after he prayed with me, and I just zeroed in on his engraving on his Bible, you know, the engraving, you know, and I saw the word reverend and saw his name, and I just remember looking at that and saying, God, is that what this is all about? God, is that what you're doing? But then I continued to fight it, and then I continued to challenge it and think, well, maybe it's this, or maybe it's that, or maybe it's this, and every time I've gone a different direction, he's always brought me back. And I say that to say again that the most important thing for all of us is whatever God desires. If God says get up and go, we get up and go. If God says you're going to preach, you're going to preach. If God says you're going to be a missionary, you're going to be a missionary. If God says you're going to be a youth pastor, you're going to be whatever it might be. This is all God's plan. This is his. It's not yours. And so we need to be surrendering ourselves to him and what he desires, and not us. But there's another aspect to this story, though. There's another aspect of this story that I didn't realize until reading it this week. And if we could put the verse back up there again, there's just this other aspect here of where he says, so Israel set out with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Isaac. There's a couple things going on here that are so important for us to understand. The first thing is, you see what he's doing. He set out and with all that he had, and he did this. Now, before, there was a similar situation that he had, which was similar to Abraham's, which God said, hey, you, pointing down and saying, you, get up, go, this is where I want you to go. So he did it. In this case, that's not happening. In this case, God's not telling him, go here. He's doing this on his own. So at first glance, you're wondering, well, is this disobedience? What's exactly happening here? But then you continue to look at this, and he says this is what he does when he gets there. Now, Beersheba had a lot of connection here, because it's where Abraham made the commitment and the truce that they call, the treaty and everything. So there's a lot of family involvement with this. And he comes to this land, and what does he do when he gets there? He offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Isaac. So you begin to think about this, and you begin to think about him offering sacrifices. Now, the first thing is the idea of offering sacrifices. We would just simply title that today as worship. Because the whole purpose of sacrifice was to bring fellowship with you and God, that you needed to do something. Something had to die so that you could have fellowship with God. That's what had to happen. And so the idea of him making sacrifices isn't just a ritual or a tradition, but it's him literally coming in saying, I want to be close to God. I want to have fellowship with God. And along with the idea of God not telling him to go to Beersheba, God also did not command him to make any sacrifices in this instance. You see, usually in the past, what's happened is God would say, hey, go up to here, go to this mountain, make this sacrifice, do this, do that, and they do it. And so they would go through and they would do it. But in this case, he's just doing it. He's just kind of offering sacrifices and offering worship to God out of his own volition and out of his own heart. And just, it's almost like you could say he's kind of doing this out of spontaneity, spontaneous, that he's just all of a sudden just, I just want to offer sacrifices to God. Man, that wasn't in the plan. No, I know, but I just want to do this. But that's not, I mean, I didn't think we came here for that. I know, but that I just have this feeling, I just want to, you know, it's interesting what motivates us to do things, right? It's interesting what the motivation we have behind doing things for others. And sometimes us doing things for others can fall into a routine where it just gets cold and it just gets stale and there's nothing much to it. I've heard the story before, you probably have as well, about the person who after he got married, he set his wife down and told her and said, you know what, I'm going to give you flowers. I love you, I'm going to give you flowers. And the first of every month, you're going to receive flowers. How's that? I want you to be happy. So you're going to get flowers the first of every month. And as the story goes, she just sits there. And then finally, she breaks to him. She says, I don't want flowers that way. Yes, I like flowers, but I don't want flowers that way. And so as the story goes, he said that what she desired was that as he's driving home from work, he passes the floral shop and he has this overwhelming, burning desire to go in and buy her flowers because he just couldn't help himself. Man, the tech team's always laughing back there. Have you noticed that? Because he just couldn't help himself. He couldn't keep himself from doing it. Couldn't help himself because just this burning desire, not this routine thing of just scheduling it and it's done. Okay, now that's over. And I've showed you how much I love you and it's over. But it has to be this burning desire, this spontaneous burning desire that just, that's what's happening here. This isn't a routine. This isn't a scheduled service. This isn't a scheduled worship. It's this overwhelming, burning desire of I just want to show God how much I love him. I just want to show God. And he's at this level, and all the commentators agree with this, that Jacob, he's at this level he's, you know, we're all at different levels in our spiritual walk. You know, you have, you know, those who are babes in Christ and, you know, those who are just growing and those who are mature and, you know, all the different levels. And he's really at a solid level at this point, because at this point, he's just longing for fellowship with God. He's not asking God, what do I have to do? He's not asking God, what don't I have to do? He's not saying, God, what can I get by with? He's just at this level of fellowship with God that he just wants to show him love and just wants to just offer worship to him and offer the sacrifices even when it's not scheduled and even when it's not the routine or what they were expecting. He just, all of a sudden, I just love God. You ever been there? You ever been there? And we're not talking like you have to break out in song. Now, that would be fine if you wanted to, but we're not talking about that. It's like just, You ever been there where it just all of a sudden, on a moment, it's just like all, there's just this spontaneity of, oh, I just got to stop everything I'm doing right now and I just got to worship God. Because I'm just realizing what he's done and who he is and how incredible God is. And I just got to get into fellowship with him right now. You see, because this fellowship that he's talking, that's being displayed here, is the idea of not following commandments. It's not following the rituals, but it's something of a deeper walk, that he's beyond the rituals and he's beyond the commandments at this point, and he's just longing for this fellowship with him and just worshiping and loving. After this takes place, in verse 2, he says this: God spoke to Israel in visions, Jacob is again, in visions of the night, and said, "Jacob, Jacob," and he said, "Here I am." Now, this is just a thought, but I wonder if what spurred this communication on with God talking to Jacob, he said, "Jacob, Jacob," and him saying, "Here I am," I wonder if what spurred this on was that fellowship that he had with him. You know, sometimes we look for answers. Sometimes we want God to do something. And sometimes we're like, "God, I didn't hear anything. I asked you, where's the answer?" Ever happened? Yeah. "I asked you, God, where is it? In fact, God, this isn't the first time. I've asked you many times, still no answer. What am I supposed to do? This is so frustrating. God, is there anybody home? Are you listening to me? God, where are you?" And I wonder if at times when we're seeking an answer and we're looking for answer, we're looking for direction, or we're looking for him to do a miracle or whatever it might be, if God is just kind of saying, "I really can't communicate in that way with you right now because there's really not any fellowship taking place. Because there's really not any relationship taking place." Instead, what happens at times is we can treat God like the guy that's going to give us what we want, like a Santa Claus type of an approach of "God is good, he's going to give me something, and this is what I asked for, and God, where is it? I want to see it." And instead of, he longs for a relationship with us. And let me just ask, children, youth, why did God create us? Anybody? What's that? It's okay. It's fine. That's all right. For his purpose, that's good. Okay, anybody else? To fellowship, good. I had a professor in college who told us that this way. He said, "God didn't create us because he needs us. God created us because he enjoys us." And at the very beginning, when he created mankind in the first place, why did he do it? It was because he was looking for someone to have the fellowship with. And what I want to ask you today is this whole idea of having God as somebody that just gives us what we want when we want it, and we want to pray to him, and "God, we need this, and God, we need that," instead of having this spontaneity of, "Hey, I just want to worship God." So, children, youth, raise your hands again, if you could. Okay. You probably heard parts of this story before, but it doesn't really matter, because if you're like the adults here, you won't remember that I said it anyway. But when I was in first grade, anybody here first grade or close to it? Oh, wow, we have some. Yeah. You know, I remember I sat in a Sunday school class, and the lesson was on the passage that says, "Ask anything in the name of Jesus and he will do it." So I went to school that next day. We were given an assignment. I didn't want to do the assignment we were given. Has that ever happened to you? Yes. I didn't want to do it, so I thought, well, in Sunday school they told me, ask anything in his name, he'll do it. But I wanted to be a little strategic because I didn't want to just simply be a, God, I want a lightning bolt right now. So I didn't do that. I intentionally knocked my pencil off of my desk. And I said, God, when I come back up, I want this assignment done. In Jesus' name. So I reached down and I picked up the pencil and I got back up and maybe you didn't hear me. Let's try this again. Okay, something's wrong. As soon as I walked through the door of my house that day, Mom! Our Sunday school teacher lied. Because I asked God to do something and I said in Jesus' name at the end and he didn't do it. Of course, everybody in the house just erupted in laughter at me. And you know, it's funny, but it's interesting when you think about that idea of what I was asking God to do, we kind of treat it that way at times. And by the way, just to give you a little side note, the whole issue of asking in his name is not just saying in Jesus' name as if it's a potion. In Jewish culture, it was the family name, which means the character, so you can't ask for anything that's outside of Jesus' character. So in other words, you're already asking for what Jesus wants when you're doing it in his name. Which is interesting and it's confusing at times, but that's pretty much what prayer is asking what Jesus wants, not what you want, what Jesus wants. But so many times we treat God in that same fashion, don't we? God, I want you to do this. And God's looking down at me and sitting there on that desk and saying, Chad, is there anything? There's no fellowship here. I don't think you prayed to me for a long time and now all of a sudden you're praying and now you want this? I mean, you know, there's gotta be this fellowship. There has to be this connection, which is the same one that he experienced here. And I wonder in our life if we miss that when we're talking about Christianity. And so many times it's happened to me where somebody would say, they'd find out I was a Christian, or especially out in the world when they would find out I was a pastor, they'd be like, oh, you're one of those. What does that mean? And they usually have me sized up before I could even say a word. Oh, we know what you guys are. Well, what am I? Well, we know what you do. Well, what do I do? Well, we know what you don't do. Well, what do I don't do? And they have me sized up already. Oh, you don't do this, do you? And you probably do this, don't you? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, my cousin's a Christian. They do the same thing. Yep, yep, yep. We understand. We know you. We understand. We get it. And we see that. And there's this whole picture, not just in the believing community, not just in the church, but in outside the church, there's a concept that is the whole idea of Christianity is just simply, you don't do this, and you do this, and you don't have fun, and you gotta do this, and your life is miserable, and you gotta go to church and listen to some guy talk, and you gotta do this, and you gotta do that, and the whole thing can be missed when any of us view God in that way at all. The same way that I viewed God when I knocked the pencil off, who was I thinking about when I knocked that pencil off? It was only me. God, you need to do this for me. When what's being demonstrated here is, no, that's not how God operates. God operates in this way. God operates in this fellowship way. He operates in a way of somebody who just out of the blue just says, I want to worship and I want to connect and this is what I desire to do. So I asked you earlier if you've ever been there or if it's ever happened. And what I want to ask you to do today in closing, I want to ask you to do that. And you might be saying, well, Chad, we're already here. We're already in the service. I mean, isn't that what we do? We worship. Yeah, we do. But I want you just in this final moments here together as we pray and as we worship together, I want you to just, at least in your heart, and maybe more than just your heart, do something a little bit more that conveys to him your longing for relationship with him and not just You're longing for him to do what you think needs to be done. Something that says, God, I want to have relationship with you, and I want to experience this moment that I'm experiencing right now all the time, not just in church on Sunday. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for who you are and for your word and for your truth. And we ask you today that in this moment, this would not just be the typical closing prayer of the service, the typical closing song and the benediction, but that right now in all of our hearts, all of us would have a desire to grow deeper with you. All of us would have a desire to experience you. All of us would put aside what we want you to do or what we even think you need to do. We would put all that aside and we would just say, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, you're deserving of our praise. Jesus, there's no one else like you. Jesus, I'm ashamed to even ask for anything because of how great you are. I just want to be focused on you and experience who you are. And Jesus, may we take this experience in this moment that we have together in this time of worship. May we take this experience with us everywhere we go. We ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.